If you have your Bible, turn to Philippians chapter 1, verse number 12. As we're teaching through the book of Philippians, we've now made it to verse 12, and I want to read verses 12 through verse number 18. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 through verse 18. I ask that you keep your Bibles open as we teach through it. I want you to see the Word of God. I want you to hear the Word of God, and I want the Lord to speak to us. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 through 18. It says, "But I would that you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ," say in Christ, "so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice," yeah, "and will rejoice." I do rejoice, and I will rejoice. Let me just remind you of this before we look at some of these verses for a few minutes and seek understanding and listen to the Lord as He teaches us for a few moments. Let me remind you that Paul is arrested. He's in Rome. He's under arrest, and he is chained to a soldier. He is awaiting trial, and we know that during this time, as he's locked up, the church at Philippi, in which Paul had a great relationship with, they have reached out to him. They were concerned about him. They loved him. They were worried about him. They sent Epaphroditus to him. We know the minister gets sick, and he responds back to the church, and he writes them this letter. And in this letter, he's encouraging them. A few things that he's doing. Number one is he's trying to teach them how to have joy and not to operate in anxiety, and his teachings around joy and how not to have anxiety or not to be worried is all centered on the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel. So they've reached out to him. He's writing to them, and at this time that he's arrested. And I want you to look at verse number 12. Watch this. The Bible says, Paul writes, "But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather into the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places." So what Paul is saying here, he's writing to the church, and he's saying, "I need you to understand something, church." He says, "Brethren, I've got to tell you something. I need you to understand something. That as you know that I am incarcerated in Rome, that I am locked up in Rome, that I'm held prisoner in Rome, and I know that you're worried about me, and I know that you're concerned about me, and I know some of you are bothered by the fact that I am under arrest in Rome." He said, "I need you to understand what is going on." He says, "I'm arrested and I'm a prisoner in Rome," and he says, "The reason why is for the furtherance of the gospel." He said, I am arrested. I'm in Rome. I'm incarcerated. And he said, all this you need to understand is for the furtherance of the gospel. In other words, this is what he says. He says, I know that some of you is worried. I need you to understand that this is not what you think it is. I know you think they got me. I know you think that they've caught me and they've shut me down and that they've stopped me and that they've arrested me. And I know y'all, some of y'all don't know what's going to happen to me, what's going to happen next. And I know that you're worried about me. And he says, I need you to understand something, that it is not what you think it is. It is not the way you see it. It is not what it seems. He says, in fact, it is quite the opposite of what you think it is. He says, I know that you think they've got me, and you're thinking that this is a bad thing. This is a bad thing, and it's not going good. Our plans didn't work as the way we wanted it to. He says, but I need you to understand that it's not that at all. This is for the furtherance of the gospel. And this word in the Greek, furtherance, it carries military connotations. It carries the idea of an army that is marching forward. He said that this progress of the gospel, this imagery of an army that's advancing forward and pressing forward, he says, you're thinking they got me and you're thinking it's a bad thing. He says, but you need to understand it is not at all what you think it is. In fact, they've got me locked up, but what's really going on right now is we are an army that's pressing forward with the gospel, that God is doing a mighty work through this right here. It may look bad and it may seem bad, but I assure you, it is not bad. He said, my bonds are in Christ, in verse 13. Notice this. He did not say, my bonds in Rome. He said, my bonds in Christ. Huh? He said, my bonds are in Christ. In other words, he's saying this right here. He says that it ain't that Rome that's got me incarcerated and Rome has got me locked up. He said, I'm still held prisoner to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, Rome ain't dictating this thing. They think they've shut me down, and they think they shut me up, and they think they've stopped my gospel work. But what they don't know is that I'm a prisoner of the Lord, and what the Lord says will happen, and what he's trying to do is going to come to pass. He said, the Lord is dictating this thing and not Rome. The Lord is in charge of this thing and not Rome. He said, even though it looks bad and it seems bad, and I know you think that they've stopped me and they locked me up. He says, what you need to know, that we are an army that's pressing on because we are prisoners of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is sovereign and he is in control and he is working this thing out. He said, the gospel's going forward. The gospel's going forward. They didn't stop my work. They didn't stop my calling. They didn't stop my purpose. They didn't shut down the church. He said, we are a mighty army as prisoners of the Lord, and this gospel is going to go forward. It's going to advance, and it's going to progress. He said, what you think is happening, it ain't what it seems. I want to tell somebody right now, even in the times that we're living in, it looks like the churches are not meeting no more together, and it looks like that the church has lost its power and its influence, and we've got things that's out of our control that's affecting what we think is the effectiveness of the church. But I want to say to you, it ain't what it seems. It ain't what you think it is. Even though it looks tough and even though we look bound or we seem quiet, God is doing a work. We are an army that is marching forward, and we are waving the banner of the gospel high, and we are advancing and we are progressing even in the midst of this time in which we can't meet together. Even though we are at home and scattered apart, we are still going forward, not because of us, but because of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are in bonds to him. Prisoner to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so Paul says to the church, I know it looks bad and I know you're worried about me. He says, but this is working right now. It's working. God's doing exactly what he planned to do. Everything that I wanted to do, it's happening. And it may not look like it, but it's happening. It's good. It may look bad, but it's good. I want to tell somebody, it may look bad, but it's not bad, it's good. Because God is in control. He said, I need you to understand, brethren, that my bonds and my chains and my imprisonment, it's not what you think it is, but it's for the furtherance of the gospel. The progress of an army pressing forward with the gospel. He said, my bonds are in Christ. God has this. God is doing this. God is in control. God is sovereign. And then Paul begins to explain. He says, I need you to understand, it's not what it seems. The gospel's going forward. The church is okay. We are okay. We're still effective. We still have influence. He says, he tells them, I need you to understand it. And he begins to show them how that God is unfolding this. How God is turning something that looks bad into something that is good. Watch verse 13 at the end. My bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all of the places. He says, let me remind you of this. Acts chapter 23 verse 11. Paul gets locked up. He gets arrested. He's in Jerusalem preaching. And during this time, the Lord comes to him at night. And Paul is scared. Paul is scared at this time. He's thinking, this is it. This is over. Had to be tempted to think that anyway. And the Lord shows up to Paul, Acts 23:11, and tells him, Paul, don't be scared. Don't be worried. He said this, you're going to preach the gospel. You're going to testify of me. You're going to witness of me in Rome just like you did here in Jerusalem. Now remember, Paul is arrested. They've shut him down in Jerusalem. He's probably thinking it's over. And Jesus comes and says, oh, it ain't over. It ain't over. One of these days you're going to stand in Rome and you're going to testify of me there too. And then you read Romans 1:15. Paul says, with everything that is in me, everything that is in me, I'm going to Rome to preach the gospel. God is in control. And now Paul, he is incarcerated in Rome. And this is what he says. He says, look, they didn't stop me. We are advancing forward in the gospel. My Lord is in charge of this. And he begins to explain to them, this is what's happening. He says, I've got a guard that is chained to me 24 hours a day, and they rotate every 6 hours. And he says, they think they shut me down, but what God is doing is releasing me. They think they stopped me. They think they stopped the ministry, but God has freed the ministry. He said, here I am. I am in Rome. And he said, every 6 hours I get another one to preach to, and he can't get away from me. He said, I got one chained to me, and he's got a 6-hour shift, and I preach the gospel to him, and I got him for 6 hours. And then when they change, another one comes, and I teach and share the gospel, and I testify of the Lord Jesus Christ just the way Jesus said I would preach in Rome. Here I am preaching to the government officials and to the army of Rome. One by one, I'm sharing the gospel. It ain't what you think it is. It ain't bad. God's doing it. God's doing it. I'm still preaching. I'm still going forward. Even though they got me locked up, I'm going forward. He says, listen, I am right here in the palace and in all other places. I am in the most important place in Rome. Hey, look, I'm right here at Caesar's court. I'm about to go on trial, and I'm going to share the gospel. It ain't what you think it is. Don't be scared. Don't worry about me, he says to the church. God has placed me here. It might not have been the way that we planned it happening. It might not have been the way that I thought it was going to unfold. But I am still here, regardless of what the enemy's doing. It don't matter what he's doing to shut me up and stop me. I'm still sharing the gospel. The church is marching on. Hear that, church. The enemy can do, and he can do all he can do. And he can come against us, and he can oppose us with everything in him to shut us down. And sometimes it may look like it's working a little bit. But I need you to know that we are an army that marches on under the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, waving the banner of the gospel. And we are progressing. In spite of everything the enemy's doing, he said, I am preaching here in Rome, just like Jesus said I would. I'm in the most important place preaching. He said, it looks bad, but it ain't what it seems. I'm here preaching the gospel right here in Caesar's court in Rome. And look at verse 14. He says, not only that, he said, but since I got arrested. See, the enemy thought that if I can just arrest Paul and lock Paul up, all this gospel preaching would die down. What he did not know, verse 14, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. What he did not know, that the minute that he shuts me up, that there would be others who would be encouraged, that would become bold, that would be inspired by them locking me up, and they would begin to stand and preach the gospel. He thought he would stop me, but what's happening is others around me are beginning to preach the gospel. Now there's not just one Paul preaching. Now there are many declaring the gospel. We are an army pressing forward and marching on in spite of the bonds, in spite of the incarceration, in spite of what looks bad, in spite of what the enemy's doing, in spite of these tough circumstances. We are going forward just as powerful, maybe more powerful than ever before. More restricted, but more powerful. More limitations, but a greater influence. He says they're starting to preach others. They've saw that they've locked me up and they've been inspired and boldness is rising up in them and they are preaching the gospel like never before. Verse 14. And then verse 15, watch this. Some men did preach Christ of envy and strife and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. This is what Paul's saying. He says, they thought they would lock me up. They thought they would shut me down. And when they did, they placed me right there in Rome in the most important place. And I'm preaching firsthand to the place I wanted to go in the first place. He said, and secondly, the church has begun to rise up and they've got bold and they've been preaching. Those that love me have stood and they've declared the gospel message. They've took partnership in the ministry that was laid upon me out of their love for me and most of all, their love for the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are preaching the gospel. And he says this, watch this, this is awesome. He says, and even those who are believers that don't like me. So watch this. Apparently there were some that were sound in their doctrine, sound in the gospel, believers that just wasn't Paul fans. Apparently it was something like this. Some of them wanted to be doing what Paul was doing. They wanted his position. They wanted his apostleship. And it nearly gets a little political. Apparently, some of them thought, well, listen, now that Paul is locked up, maybe he can stay locked up, and I'm going to go preach the gospel, and I'm going to preach it more than ever, so that maybe since he's locked up, I can take his place, I can take his spot, and I can preach, and I can be in the place that Paul was in and have that influence over the churches. So this is what Paul says. He says, even those that don't like me are preaching the gospel more than they ever have. The gospel is advancing forward like a mighty army. Some's doing it out of love for me. Some's doing it out of love for the Lord. Some is doing it because they don't like me. And they want to be in my spot and have my influence. But either way, from every side and every angle, the gospel is being declared and preached, and it is going forward. God knows what he's doing. God's working this thing out. Jesus is Lord, and He's Lord of all, and He's Lord over all, and He's Lord through it all, and He's Lord in it all, and He's carrying it out, and He's making His name great in the midst of all these things that's going on, in the midst of these trying times, in these tribulations, in these bad circumstances, in everything the enemy's doing to shut us down and quieten us up and lock us in our homes. He is still Lord. It is as if God says sometimes to the enemy and to this world and to mankind, make it as hard on me as you can. Go ahead, make it as hard on my bride as you can. Make it as hard on the church as you can. We're still going to prevail. We're still going to be victorious. I said they're more than conquerors, and they're going to conquer through whatever you do to them. They are more than conquerors, and this gospel will prevail. It will go on. It will progress. It will advance because the church is an army that will go forward, because I am Lord of all. And this is what Paul says to a church that is discouraged because they locked him up. He said, don't worry about me being locked up. I know it looks bad, but it's not bad. It's a good thing, actually. It's a good thing. It's not what you think it is. God was just positioning me right there in Rome to preach the gospel. And God was doing a work in the church that would cause them to rise up and serve the Lord faithfully and be obedient and the Great Commission and preaching the gospel. Even those who wasn't acting like they ought to be is standing and proclaiming the gospel. He said, it ain't what you think it is. He said, it's a good thing. God is doing a gospel work in these days. That's what Paul says. And I'm telling you, what you're seeing in these times that's got you down and out and discouraged, it ain't what you think it is. It ain't what you think it is. I know it looks bad, but it's not bad. And I know you're discouraged and you think that we've got restrictions and we've got all this that's opposing us and standing in our way and affecting us, but it ain't what you think it is. God is working through it all. He's working in it all. The church will march forward like an army, and the gospel will progress and prevail. And then the last verse, verse number 18, Paul says this: what then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And then he says this: and I therein do rejoice and will rejoice. He said, I do rejoice and I will rejoice. I know you're worried about me, and I know your heart hurts for me, but don't, because God is still doing it. He's still, they didn't stop me. They didn't stop us. It may look bad, but it ain't bad. And he said, and me, you think I'm down and out? He said, oh, no. No, he said, I'm rejoicing. I'm rejoicing right now, and I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to keep rejoicing. He said, I'm rejoicing. I want to end by saying this. I want you to understand something about Paul saying, I am rejoicing and I will rejoice. The Greek word for rejoice is kaero. And that word comes from an etymological link between two other words. One word from, we get kaero from one word, charis. And the other word is kara. Charis is the Greek word for grace. Kara is the Greek word for joy. What I'm saying is this. The word rejoicing, what it means to rejoice, it comes from these two words and their relationship one another, grace and joy. In other words, rejoicing is grace joy. Rejoicing is grace joy. In other words, rejoicing is joy that comes from grace. Grace gives birth to joy. Grace produces joy. And that joy, when it manifests, is called rejoicing. He said, Paul said, look, you need to understand not what you see with your natural eye, but what God is doing and who God is. And look, you need to see his grace through it all. His grace will sustain you. It is enough. When I am weak, he is strong. That is grace. His grace is sufficient. I want to tell you something. His grace shines bright when we are limited, when we are restricted, when we are persecuted. When it looks bad, his grace is effective and it's powerful and it gives birth to joy. He says, listen, I know it looks bad, but we're going to rejoice. This is a time for rejoicing. We're going to rejoice in the midst of these times, and the gospel's going to go forward. Church, I want to tell you, in closing, those that are discouraged about all this stuff that's going on right now, it ain't what it seems, and it ain't what it looks like. Jesus is Lord of all. And we, the church, we're an army that is advancing forward for the gospel's sake, for Jesus' sake, for the glory of God's sake. We go forward. And through that, we will experience a grace that gives way to joy, and it's going to be called rejoicing. I believe these times, the gospel is going to be preached more than ever. I believe already people is hearing the gospel on Facebook Live that's not heard the gospel in years. People that's not listened to the Bible taught in years, they're listening to it, and it's going out. Even though we can't meet together, people's hearing the gospel, and I believe the church is going to rejoice. God is doing a grace work in the church that's going to bring forth joy and rejoicing. Paul tells the Philippian church, look, you just need to understand what's going on. And I think what the church right now needs is just to understand what's going on. And it's not what we think with our natural eye and our natural understanding. God is doing something great. In Jesus' name.